This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening. I was praying and asking the Lord. I wanted to ask Him to help me to remain ever Christ-centered in everything that I do, and to connect with people with compassion and communicate with conviction, and for God to confirm His word with signs and wonders following, miracles to happen. I believe that's going to happen today for somebody. I believe that's going to happen today for somebody. And in answer to that prayer, the Lord awakened me this week. And He did something that He's never done for me before. He read Scripture to me and gave me commentary as He read the Scripture to me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And just began to speak the word into my spirit and give me understanding of each part of it as He unfolded it. And so I was just going to kind of read it. I'm not going to do the commentary right now, but I just want to kind of read what He was trying to speak into my life so that this morning I could speak it into your life. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Boy, I wish we could do that in America. Wouldn't it be wonderful if just one day everybody would hush their evil speaking? Just one day. Well, we can start, can't we? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so, by ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you tasted that the Lord is gracious? To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also are lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, to those which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when He got to marvelous light, this is what He told me. And this is kind of what I'm going to preach about today. He said, you have limited my marvelous light to what you know about me and about my way of salvation. But my marvelous light is all about what I'm going to make out of you and what you shall become. I just feel like praising God on just that word from the Lord. Too many people are walking in malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envyings, and evil speakings today. That's the darkness. said, but when I bring you out of that, there's five things I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you a holy priesthood. That means you're going to be qualified for access to the treasures of heaven, a holy priesthood. I'm going to make out of you a chosen generation. That means you weren't the best, you were the worst. But when I get finished with you, you're going to be the best in your class. I'm going to make you a royal priesthood. I'm going to give you authority and dominion in the earth. I'm going to make you a holy nation, a citizen of another world and a peculiar people. I'm going to give you a special assignment with a special power to fulfill that assignment. Because you're my, that doesn't mean you're weird. That means you're on assignment by the Almighty. I don't know about you, but I want some of His marvelous light to shine on me right now. I don't care what you know about Him. I want to know, what is He making out of you? And is He molding a priesthood, a nation, a generation, a peculiar people? Is He making out of you these things? And that's the key to transformation. He's not interested in just delivering you from the darkness. He's interested in you becoming what He wants you to be and transforming you into it. Praise God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I believe it's time for us to shine some fresh light on the truth of the oneness of God. There's no search among us for God. We found the one true God, and His name is Jesus. He's not a whale that you hug or save, or a tree that you hug or save. He's not a sun god or an earth god or a rock god. He's not a god that can be represented by an inanimate object. He is a God who is one, who is omniscient, omnipresent, and He is omnipotent. He is spirit. He is invisible, but there is no other God but this God. There aren't five different gods. There aren't 20 different gods. There's a lot of people that are trying to be God, but none of them can quite pull it off. There's only one who can actually be God, and that is the one true God of heaven and of earth. He is that which was, which is to come, the Almighty God. And that God rules and reigns in the earth. Do not forget this, because I don't care who is elected to what office. It matters not. God is still the Lord of all. For He is King of kings, and He is Lord of lords, and Him alone shall I worship. I don't bow down to the beast. I'm not going to bow down to a system of government. I'm not going to bow down to a concept of man. But I'm going to bow down to the one true living God of heaven and of earth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And Isaiah said, and beside me there is no other. He is God alone. But I'm so thankful I belong to a church that also knows His name. And I believe it's time for us to shed some fresh light on who His name is and the power that is in that name. That when you ask in His name, believing, that's when heaven recognizes and heaven will honor it. Your name and my name has no miraculous power in it, but there is one name which is above every name. This is not something that I have given Him. This is not something that I call Him. This is not something that the Pentecostals declare. This is something that God has called Himself. And His name shall be called Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Philippians 2:9 declares, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's only one name that has the power to take away sin. There's only one name that activates the miraculous power of God and the blood of Jesus. And that is his name, the name of Jesus. When you speak that name, I said, when you say that name, all heaven is moved by the power of that name. It will release the presence of God into your mind and heart. I believe heaven's going to honor that name. Hell's got to honor that name. Demons tremble at the sound of that name. You can call him by his titles, and that will not move hell. But when you stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, cancer be gone. In the name of Jesus, devil, take your hands off of our nation. Take your hands off of these leaders that are being chewed up by the media. In the name of Jesus, deliver them. I say in Jesus' name, deliver us from darkness and bring us into his marvelous light. The name of Jesus in this wonderful new birth experience brings us into the body of believers. We are born again of water and of spirit. And we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What's the significance of that? Here's the significance. Everybody that's born in this nation is an American, and they are a citizen of America, but they're not a child of the president, and they're not the child of the Queen of England if they're born in Great Britain. Unless he or she adopts them into the family. But everyone who is born again of water and of spirit is a citizen of a new kingdom. When I'm born again, I'm not just a part of a holy nation. I'm one of his kids. I have become a child of the King. I am of royal birth. You got royal blood flowing through your veins. You've got a princely nature now. You are not just an ordinary person and a citizen of America. You have been born again, and the old man has been buried, and a new man has risen up, and now you walk in the power of that new nature. You've been adopted into the family, honey. You're a son of God. You need to start operating in your authority. You're not just a holy nation, you are a royal priesthood, meaning you have authority to speak to the enemy and say, take your hands off of these people over here and any sickness that might be among them in the name of Jesus. I'm tired of sickness taking out our people. I'm tired of sickness mowing our people down. I say in the name of Jesus, be healed in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed. There's only one kingdom on the globe where every member is a child of the King. There's no other kingdom that has such understanding as this, that you have access to all the treasure of the King himself, and he is your Father. Think about that for a moment. I know some of you didn't have a good experience with your father, so you may not be able to relate to this concept as well as somebody else who had a good experience with their father. But I'm going to tell you that the greatest privilege that you have as a child of God when you receive the Holy Ghost is to be able to call him Daddy. I want to say that again, because for me that has meaning. For me, that means that I don't have to become what my father was. I don't have to be what my family was. I can become. I'm in marvelous light. Woo! I don't have to be trapped by everybody's opinion and everybody's trashing me. I've got a new nature in Jesus Christ, and I've got a new name, and my name is a part of the kingdom roster of his children. And everybody has access to that name and the power of the throne. We need fresh light on the omnipresence of God, because a lot of us don't understand this. He's everywhere at all times. He's not better in some places than he is in others. He's not more in one place than he is in another place. He's not more here in America than he is in Canada. He's not more in Canada than he is in Africa. He's not more in Africa than he is in China. He's the same everywhere you go. And I know this is going to blow Pentecostals' mind, and I don't want to mess your theology up, but God is not more on Sunday morning than he is on Wednesday night. I know that hurt y'all's feelings. I know you're messed up. But I'm going to tell you that he's here on a Sunday morning. He's here on a Sunday night. God doesn't come in sizes. He doesn't come in shapes. And he doesn't come in amounts. He cannot be measured by pounds or by inches. He cannot be measured by these measurements. Because the Bible says that the heavens are his throne. And the earth is his footstool. I wish y'all would let me preach on this Sunday morning. And there's just as much God in a Pentecostal church as there is in any other church. It's just whether or not the word of the Lord is there. If the word is spoken. That's the only difference between this service and some of the other services. When the word is spoken and the name is declared, God explodes out of his omnipresence. He's going to show up and confirm his word. Somebody's going to get healed this morning. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Somebody's going to speak with other tongues. There's an open hand in this house. See, the first time, this is the reason why that I speak this, because first time Adam and Eve sinned, they actually had an encounter with God, and they thought that God was so small that they could hide behind some shrubbery and he missed them. And that's what happens to your thinking when you're in darkness. You think God is so small that he operates in one place bigger than another place, that I could hide behind this shrubbery and they could escape his presence. But you can't escape his presence. Jacob went on a journey, fell asleep and dreamed, and woke up in a place called Luz and declared it to be the house of God and changed the name to Bethel. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, I knew God back in Isaac's home. I knew God back at Papa's house. I knew God there, but I didn't know God was out in the wilderness as well. Guess what? He's just as much in the wilderness as he is at Papa's house. And Papa's house is special, but I'm coming to tell you, he's even in the place called hell. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, he is there. Jeremiah said, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? There's no place you can go. You say, I'm too far down. God can't reach me. The arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save. I'm going to say it again because I want to rock hell with that statement right there. I don't care how messed up you are. God can find you where you're at. I don't care how mixed up your life is. God can rescue you out of nothing. I want you to get a revelation that Moses got when he moved outside of Egypt and into a wilderness, that on the backside of a desert, there's a burning bush. And Yahvahasha is there. I am God, and I am the one that can deliver you. I'm going to tell you, God can get you out of your darkness. You need to get a new light and a fresh light on the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He's on this Sunday morning. He's at this Pentecostal church. He's with this Pentecostal preacher. My help has done showed up in this place. The angel of the Lord is with me right now. I can feel his presence coming into this place, standing up here with me. You can't see him and I can't see him. It'd scare me and you both to death, but he's here. The angel of the Lord is here. I said the angel. The angel of the Lord is here, and he is ready to, his sword is drawn, and he's ready to do battle with demonic spirits. The devil cannot control you. The devil cannot make you do anything. There's power in the name of Jesus to deliver you from that darkness. I want somebody to get into, is there a holy nation in the house? Is there a royal priesthood in the house? Is there a holy people in the house? A chosen generation. I'm pretty sure there's some peculiar people here. No doubt about that. Paul said it in Acts 17 that they should seek the Lord, if they haply that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far from you. This God is right by you. If you'd feel after him, you would find him. The God we serve is not on a mountain. He's not in an idol. He's not in an image. He's not in a government. He's everywhere you are. Say, well, I'm in a nursing home. I felt him in nursing homes. He's there. He's in the emergency room. I've been there, and he's there too. God is everywhere. His presence is in all places. God doesn't belong to the United Pentecostal Church. This God does not belong to anybody. He belongs to everybody. He's not an American God. He's not a Canadian God. He's not a South American God. He's not an African God. He's the God of the whole world. He's God at all places and all times and for everyone. There is nowhere I am at that he is not. He's already there. And all you got to do is shout his name. Now, y'all probably weren't listening to the message, so I'm going to ask you to shout his name. And if y'all missed this test, then you're going to have to stay after church and help clean it up. Praise God. If you miss this, you just miss it. But I want you to shout his name.
Jesus!
Oh, I wished I could have caught some of y'all missing it, because y'all would have cleaned up the church. Hallelujah. I want you to say it again. Say it again.
Jesus.
He can make a difference in your world. He's not just a deliverer. He can help you become something more than a drug addict. He can help you become something more than just a malice-filled, evil-speaking, bitter soul. He can make a royal priesthood out of you. Now, here's another thing we need some marvelous light on, and it's kind of what you need to see here today, and it's in 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Greek word there for the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, is release. So when you get into the house of God and worship God and you start tearing down strongholds, that's what we do here. If you want to know why we make noise and we clap our hands and we praise the Lord, first of all, it's biblical. If you'll read your scripture, it's in the book to do it in the assembly of the upright. He didn't say go do it in your closet of prayer. He said do it in the assembly of the upright. That's the book. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you in the book? But you can dismantle strongholds of the enemy who build up thought patterns in people's minds that hold God in a box that keeps him small. There are some people, they'll keep God so small that he doesn't have the power to do anything. And we need to tear those things down. And when you start tearing those strongholds down and worshiping God, there's liberty now. You're not bound any longer. Some of you feel like you're bound today. You feel like there's no way. You don't say you're bound, but you say there's no way I can be anything other. This is just the way I am. And there's no way I can be any way other than what I am right now. That's not true. Well, it shook a little bit, but not enough. That's a stronghold, my friend, that are in people's minds that's being reinforced by the pop psychology of our day, that the way you are is the way you are, and you cannot change it. That is a lie from hell. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to shake that stronghold until every devil's teeth rattles. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I've come to tell you that God can change you from the top of your head. God, there is liberty in this place. He can release you from drugs. He can release you from alcohol. He can release you from perversions. He can release you from identity crisis. He can release you from addictions. He can release you from diseases. I think you ought to wake up and find out that if the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, he can release you from the powers of hell that have our young people in their grip. He can release you from things that keep you from worshiping. I think you ought to go ahead and allow God to deliver you. You ought to release it right now in the name of Jesus. You ought to step into your liberty and realize, I can become. I know some of you, I can feel it in the Holy Ghost. There are some things hounding you in the darkness. They're just coming out of the darkness and they're hounding you and they're biting on you and they're trying to capture your thinking again and hold you captive. I know some of you have a lot of fear in your life and I know you're sick of it and you're about to be released from that. I know some of you are tormented in your mind and you haven't told anybody and nobody even knows it. And they're sitting right next to you and they have no idea that you are being tormented in your mind. But I know that you are sick of that. And I've come to give you good news in this house. I'm preaching about marvelous light. I'm preaching about something that's so marvelous. He not only gives you a Bible lesson about how many gods there are, he'll give you a powerful transfusion that he'll make you a brand new person. It's not just what you know about him. It's what he will make out of you if you allow him to. Come on, step. Quit disallowing that stone, which is, I know it's a rock of offense that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and there's no way you can save yourself, and there's no way that you can save yourself from your sin. And I know some of you think you can do more than God, but you can't. Just try to change one habit in your life that you've established and all that stuff that you eat at Thanksgiving. Just try to curb it just a little bit and see whether or not you've got problems. And then you want to fix everybody else around you and you can't even fix yourself. Because when you would do good, evil is present with you. How many of you have ever experienced that? Oh, you're going to be lost too. Okay. You better get that hand up there and say, you know what? When I thought I was going to do the right thing, the wrong thing was there. And I just couldn't do the right thing. But I've got a God that can release you from that. I got a God that'll make you free. I got a God that can make you free to where you're so free from that, you don't ever have to go back to it. I don't think these young people have to dabble in the world and sow their wild oats. I think they can live for God for the rest of their life. I did, and they can too. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Somebody claim it with me in the name. I want to know, do I have a royal priesthood in the house? Is there a chosen? Do I have the best of the best in the house? Or do I just have a bunch of wannabes? I just want to know, do I have a chosen generation? God said, I'll make the best out of you. You weren't the best when he found you. You was the worst. But he can take the worst and make him a chosen generation because of marvelous light. I know that you feel that you're not at peace, but God is about to release you so you can walk in peace. Is anybody hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost? Is anybody hungry for a miracle today? I wish you could get some fresh light on the power of God. You say this or that didn't happen when you prayed, but there's not enough power to do the miracle. It's got nothing to do with power. It's whether or not you can connect in faith with a God who is powerful. You don't have to keep the rivers running, do you? Did you have to get the sun to shine this morning? Wasn't it a beautiful fall morning today? You didn't have to make the carrots grow. You didn't have to make the fruit come on the vine. You don't have to worry about the change of the seasons, of the weather, of the climate, because there's someone already in charge of that, and his name is Jesus. There's enough power in this place right now to do any and every miracle the Bible has ever spoken a multiple times and can do it over and over again for everybody in this house. There's enough power, and the lights won't even dim if we connect to it and God does it. The lights won't even dim in heaven because God is not in a power shortage and there's no energy shortage with God. It's not a power issue, it's a faith issue. Ye are of God, little children. I want to say that again. John said it in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not how much power you got, it's whether you got the faith. You say, but I don't have much faith. You don't need much faith. If you've got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. He didn't say if you had the power to move the mountain, because you don't, but God does. And if you've got the faith, he's got the power. I want to say it again. If you've got the faith, and I hope there's one thing you say, how do I get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will do it for you. I can't heal your heart by myself, but I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the power of Jesus, and Jesus can do it. Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, and Satan wants to pick you up and throw you into the wind and tear you apart and tear you away from me. But I've prayed for you. He didn't say, I prayed for you that your power fails not. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fails not. And that's the issue today for the apostolic church. If Jesus is here, the power is here. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be just flat honest with you. The only reason why God doesn't fill people with the Holy Ghost in some other churches has nothing to do with God's power to do it or his ability to do it in that church. Has nothing to do with it. It's whether or not the word is spoken and there's faith in the house to believe it can happen. That's it. God doesn't like Pentecostals more than he likes somebody else. He doesn't give the Holy Ghost to just a denomination over here and not the denomination over there. I'm telling you right now, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. God is about to pour out his spirit on every denomination. I say it right now, there are going to be whole churches that are going to get turned upside down because it's not a power issue. I said it's not a power issue. We're finding the power in China. We're finding the power in Muslim nations that I can't even tell you about. I can't tell you how many Muslims are getting the Holy Ghost, because they'll kill every one of them. If I tell you where they're at and even give you a name, they will hunt them down and they will cut their head off. But I'll tell you, we're still seeing them pray through by the, because there is no power issue. If the word is spoken and there's faith in the house, God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. God's going to come right down here. I got a power source that's out of this world, and I wish somebody, I said, I wish somebody would say yes to the word of the Lord today. All of my energy is not going to convert into the power of God, but my faith will. And so, as I've preached the word of God to you today, the Lord is speaking to you right now. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Does anyone want the Holy Ghost? Does anyone want a miracle in your life? I wouldn't go another minute sick in my body. I speak healing right now. Don't be sick another minute in your life. Walk up here in the name of Jesus and say, I believe everything Jesus said in his Bible. I believe it right now, Mike, in the name of Jesus. As you walk up here, let healing flow. Let healing flow. Let healing flow. Let healing flow. If you need the Holy Ghost, look at how many people are coming up here for healing. Tormented by sickness, afflicted by things of this world that they want deliverance from. Then I want you to stand up right now, everybody all over the building, if you would. I bring this service to its conclusion for God to do what I asked him to do. He read the word to me and said, my marvelous light is all about what you can become and what I can make out of you. Because I'm just not interested in getting you up out of darkness. I'm interested in getting you into the marvelous light. So I want you to step out by faith all over this building. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to step out by faith. If you need Jesus to touch you and minister to you in the flesh. You need a miracle in your life. You need a miracle of provision. You need a miracle of blessing. I want you to step forward right now. And I want you to step out from where you're standing and just walk down the aisle like you saw these other people do. I know it's a little step for people to walk in front of all of these people. I get that. And I love you. I bless all of you, and I thank you for being here. You've been a wonderful audience today. Thank you for the opportunity to share this word with you. It's been my privilege to be able to introduce you to marvelous light. Marvelous not just in what you know about him, but marvelous in what he's wanting to make out of you. Marvelous that his name is powerful. A holy priesthood and a holy nation and a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. And all of these things shall come to pass in your life. And the good thing about it is, I don't have to qualify any of you for this. What qualifies you is your faith. Your faith ignites it. Your faith connects to it. Your faith will release God to do it by believing, by trusting, by stepping out. This is your way of saying, I believe. And I know that in itself, this step of faith is not just, that's not what faith is, but it is a symbol of your faith. Because your faith is in what you heard the word say to you. That's where your faith is. It's not in the emotion that you feel right now. And I know you feel something, or you wouldn't be here. And I thank God for what you feel. But it's not about that. It's about what has been spoken from this book that is God's word to you that you believed. That's your faith right there in the word. There's your faith. It's in the word. Oh, God will do it for me? Yes. Come. Oh, I can get the Holy Ghost? Yes, you can. Come. Oh, I can be healed? I'm not a Pentecostal. Yes. You can be healed. You're not a Pentecostal. Come and believe in God's word. Not what I'm saying, because what I have to say ain't got nothing to do with it. Other than I am the vessel God uses to speak his word into your life. That's it. And you believe that word and God will do it. He's released because he's omnipresent. He's here. He's here. Amen. So step out by faith. Everybody, balcony, anywhere, come on up here. Step out by faith. Get connected. Get connected to people. Get connected. Now, this is what I want you to do. Before you get too much into it, I want you to close your eyes. You can bow your head or lift your hand, but I want you to close your eyes. And we're going to pray a prayer of repentance, and we're going to ask that the Lord would hear our cry. I want you to lift up your voice right now, and I want you to pray, God, forgive me of my sin. I repent before you. I ask that you would touch the heart of this sinner, and that you would, with your blood, help me to overcome this sin in my life. I cannot do this without a Savior. You are my Savior, Jesus. You are my Lord and my Savior, and I believe. Go ahead, repent. Ask God to come into your heart. Ask God right now. I want you to ask him. Come on. I want you to ask him. I want you to cry out. Church of the Living God, I know many of you are saved, and I'm thankful for that. I want you to cry out with them. Make them comfortable. Make them feel comfortable to cry out today. Give them an opportunity to pray today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Now, church, I want you, everybody here, to lift your voice and start praising him, because you don't have to pray all day and do penance to get God to forgive you. He died on the cross to do it. All you got to do is ask and believe the word. It's what the word says that counts. And Jesus said in his word that if you believe, he will forgive you. He will help you. We can baptize you in Jesus' name today. We got water. We got clothes. We can baptize you in Jesus' name. I want you to start praising God. Saints of God, I want you to lay hands on everybody around you and let the Holy Ghost fall in this place in the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us. If you have any questions, we would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is firstpent.org. And we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.